Gracious God, our way in the wilderness, guide us by your word through these 40 days, and minister to us by your Holy Spirit, so that we may be reformed, restored, and renewed. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, starting at verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I have offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you to all of our musicians. That was a wonderful time of singing together. We appreciate all of you. Let's read our New Testament reading for today. This is from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. We will start today with a topic I very rarely talk about, and that is my experience during the pandemic, just a piece of it. And the reason it's not something I talk about very much is, like many of you, I'm sure, it's a source of unresolved grief for me. It encompassed a time in which I lost so many relationships that it's hard for me to still speak of it. I think for many of us, it's still kind of a fresh thing, a fresh event. My oldest daughter was a freshman in high school during the pandemic, and as March of 2020 approached, Grace had become a member of the dance team at her school, which required an audition and a lot of preparation and a lot of prayer by her mom. My twins were in fifth grade. They enjoyed their teacher, and they had a set of friends. When the school closed for the 2 weeks, which then, of course, became the remainder of the school year, and then became the following school year after that, my oldest was days away from competing with her team at the state dance championships. It would have been that week. We had the t-shirts, we had invited the grandparents, our lives revolved around these important festivals and things before the state championships came and her growth on this team. And needless to say, you already know the end of the story. The competition didn't happen, of course. Fast forward about a year from then, and most schools were still not meeting in person. The mental health of our teenagers as a society had shifted dramatically. Academic growth and other growth had been decimated for many kids and for youth. And my oldest never did go back to sports. In fact, neither did her brother or sister, for that matter. I grieved that I was never able to watch her in that kind of championship, but there were many other things too that I grieved and did not get to see her participate in, as she never did return to school in the traditional setting. But I also did not feel I had permission to grieve, because there were so many families going through so many things, and many of them very similar or worse, many difficult circumstances. We all learned later on that 10% of children in the United States during that time never did log on to a computer for online school. And for some groups, access to computers, of course, in the internet, wasn't equitable. For some groups, that percentage was much, much higher than 10%. We've all heard very heartbreaking stories from that time, and I'm sure many of you also have your own. There was an article I read at some point during that time that I really resonated with. It talked about the loss of milestones and transitions for our kids. Events that mark time, such as sports championships, proms, finals, baptisms and confirmations in the church, birthday parties, graduations. It argued that these things are not only important to children and to youth, but they're also important to us as adults. They're formative for us. So I invite you to think about what events kind of mark time passing for you as an adult. Unlike the other calendars that order our lives, the rhythm of the church year gives us permission to celebrate and also gives us permission to grieve. And we had a hard time doing that at that time, didn't we? Because we didn't gather as churches in person, at least most of us. But the rhythm of the church year gives us permission to celebrate and to grieve. For those of us here, time no longer passes by as it did during the pandemic when the world appeared to stand still. Our rhythm feels restored. For example, as a church, we celebrated Advent, and then we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Epiphany. Lent began with Ash Wednesday. There are these things that come and mark the time for us. Yet I understand that in recent years, it's more common to celebrate a Passion Sunday than a Palm Sunday. And it's because you may not return to a worship service this week. This might be it for you. And then Easter, hopefully. And so we feel that we need to talk about the Passion narratives on a Sunday like today, instead of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, so that you at least hear it, that you hear what Jesus' sacrifice was before hearing narratives of his resurrection and his appearances on Easter Sunday. Missing Palm Sunday, to me, feels a little bit like skipping over Thanksgiving and moving right on to Christmas. Or the wise men barging in on Jesus' story. We allow that, but they do kind of barge in. I guess it's not unlike how Santa and his elves and the toys now intermingle with pumpkins and skeletons and all the things we need to celebrate Halloween. Why are we in such a hurry? Where did we get the sense we need to live our lives with such an urgency every day. The church year orders our days and teaches us how to rejoice and how to lament. We learn how to be present to what is happening around us. We're not stuck in the past, like when your Christmas tree might be up February 14th or so. And we're also not rushing towards the future like a skip and a hop past Jesus' entry into the city in the confusing and heartbreaking dichotomy of shouts, when the shouts of Hosanna turn to shouts of crucify him. Living by the church year tunes us into Jesus' emotions, both fully human and fully God, as well as the suffering of our fellow human beings. Holy Week invites us to lean into our grief and to participate in Jesus' work. We may be invited to participate in our own healing or in that of another. And when we rush, we miss out on those opportunities to be a part of what God is doing in our world. And we miss out on our own growth. Before Jesus and his friends arrive, this gospel reports they're leaving Jericho when a large crowd follows them. And there's two men, this is the chapter before, who are blind and they're sitting by the roadside as they pass by. And they even shout, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd is already starting to gather. The crowd tries to quiet them, but Jesus stopped and listened and addressed them. And I'm always struck, he asks questions instead of assuming what these men want from him and what they need. And he asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Just like the other instances in the Gospels, and we talked about a different blind man a few weeks ago, they are invited to participate in what God does. They're invited to participate in their own healing. They make this decision and tell him what they need. He heals them, and they receive their sight and follow Christ. Now, as the crowd gathers that day on the road, there are reasons to celebrate. Matthew has made it very clear in this gospel that Jesus is the Messiah. And if you weren't sure, he begins with this entire genealogy, doesn't he, in chapter 1. His opening verse noted, "This is a genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Towards the end, he refers to Jesus as Messiah twice more and then shares of his birth and says, "He will save us from our sins. He will be with us, Emmanuel." As clear as day. At the time of his writing, and for all of those who would read this gospel in the future, he wanted it to be very, very clear. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. And not only that, but Matthew wanted us to realize something those present in Jesus' day would have known. He's very intentional. Matthew lists 14 different quotations from the Hebrew scriptures to communicate these events that have happened, fulfill prophecy. 14 different times. From Jeremiah to Zechariah to Isaiah, Matthew quotes the prophetic word to remind us over and over, this is the expected Messiah. This is the one. And God has delivered what God promised back then. We read this, not quite picking up on the excitement, but had we been there? Had we known this prophetic word was coming to pass? Had we heard the buzz around town that Jesus might be attending Passover this week? Thousands of pilgrims had descended upon the city for a celebration of Passover. And as Jesus approached, and we do our little patting, and he's on a donkey, nonetheless, those gathered on both sides began to create a red carpet of sorts with their cloaks and with their palms and branches from trees. Scripture says there were people before him and behind him. There were people calling out from the left and the right, and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They knew the prophecy. Remember the long genealogy, I said, calling him Messiah. Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. The crowd and the children welcome him, but the chief priests, of course, and the teachers of the law are indignant. They don't see reasons to celebrate. In fact, they see even more reasons to crucify him. You might have known that there are some events planned for today. I mentioned to you in an email that there are some churches in Hillsboro who are doing what they're calling a pathway to peace. Or Palm Sunday pathway. All my P's are getting mixed up. But in Oregon, a gathering and a walk and gathering and praying for peace. And if you are attending, keep your palm, because you're going to need it to wave it in downtown Hillsboro. The week of our Lord's Passion reminds us to pay attention and to engage in what God is doing and to be a part of the healing that God brings. One of the Christian mystics even called paying attention a sacrament. We have two sacraments here in the Presbyterian Church, both instituted by Christ himself, thus making them sacraments, communion, the Lord's Supper, and baptism. And so I like this. It recognizes Jesus' ability to pay attention, to be present to people, to what is going on around him, and to what God is doing, paying attention as a sacrament. Our Old Testament text today is woven into our understanding. The source of our help and the source of our strength and our guidance is God, is based on God's desire, not ours and not someone else's. We pay attention to what is going on around us and where the need is, asking for God's will and desire. And we take comfort in that, yet also acknowledge that when the God card is played, sometimes it shuts down the conversation, doesn't it? If God has told me something I'm communicating to you, who are you to argue with that? And so God's will or desire can be used as a weapon of sorts. And that's where we find ourselves today. We're called to pay attention, and God guides us. But so often there are different understandings of what God actually desires us to do, to be part of the healing that God brings and to be a part of God's work in this world. And so here are some suggestions as we begin Holy Week. The first one is slow down and pay attention. What promises to you has God fulfilled in your own life, and when is the last time you waved a palm and cheered about that fulfilled promise made to you, and shared that with someone else? Consider how God has fulfilled all of these promises in Jesus Christ. What makes you any less than the birds that he feeds, or the grasses and fields that he clothes? How has God been faithful to you? The second one is, embrace the permission to grieve, because you have it here, when you see what is not right or just. Remembering, we Christians, the body of Christ, we are the presence of Jesus to other people. That's a high standard. And if you're unsure what God desires, here's my advice. Just be present where God is. We don't need a new plan. We don't need a new committee. Just be present where God is already at work. And when you get there, if there is divisive argument there about what God wants and what God doesn't want, and you feel maybe that's being used as a weapon a bit, chances are they're getting caught up in the details. And the details are really not that important. So that second one is, just be present where God is and where God is already doing some work. The third is more simple. Celebrate what God has done and what God does all around you. Lament and rejoice. Slow down and pay attention, because the one who saves us, Hosanna, is already here. Amen.